Hello, and welcome back to the Talk Gnats podcast. I am your host, Kevin Nibley, and we are sponsored by Old DC Apparel. Visit shopolddc.com for the latest and greatest in DC fan and fashion gear. I think they have some new stuff up for the new year. Pretty cool looking district outline with a thunderbolt through it, a little punk rock. Go check that out. And yeah, as far as the show goes, you can find us on YouTube at Talk Gnats Podcast if you want the video version. If you're old school like me and just like the audio, Spotify, Apple Podcast, I think Amazon Music. I think we're pretty much on every podcast platform you can be on. Just search Talk Gnats Podcast. Today is exciting. I'm joined by my former co-host who, you know, I think will informally be a co-host of this show. You know, the way we used to do this show was we would do interviews and then Brian and I would do some hot takes and we do another interview, then we do some segments and I put it all together in a really long form podcast. And I don't think we're going to do it that way moving forward. I think we're going to do this a little bit more like a social channel, and you know, one day might be an interview with a special guest like we had with Jonathan Banks. Another day might be Brian and I just do some talking about the team. And, you know, we'll kind of post it when we have it so we can really get content up as often as possible. And Brian and I went on for a while, so I'm going to break this up into a few parts. So this first part will be about 15 minutes or so. We're kind of going to get into what has happened in the last 5 or 6 years since the World Series, since we last did this show together, and what went wrong with the rebuild, and how did we get to where we are now, and how do we feel about the new young regime that's about to take over. So without any further ado, my favorite Nats hot taker, Brian King. So yeah, right now I'm joined by my old co-host, and I guess still co-host, Brian King. He's actually playing the drums on the song you just heard. Yeah, welcome back. Good to be back doing the Talk Gnats podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
The last time we did this was right after you won the World Series 5, 6 years ago. A lot's changed. I mean, like, how do you feel about being a Nats fan, and how do you feel about the failed rebuild that we've just lived through?
I mean, it's tough. Like, in the last 6 years, it's just been boring. It's like being a Wizards fan for all those years where it's just like, you know, like the worst thing in sports is just to be boring.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst thing's to lose, sure. But if you're going to lose, at least lose in a fun way. You know, you kind of want to wonder, like, what went wrong with the rebuild? Like, Rizzo built it once. Why couldn't you do it again? And I'm like, yeah. Well, you know, that was 15 years ago now, when the game kind of changed around him and he didn't do a great job of adapting. And so as much as I love Rizzo, you know, I think it was obviously time.
So you were in support of getting rid of Rizzo and Davey.
Yeah. You can blame the learners all you want for not springing on free agents, but I'm like, look, man, the core of a rebuild has to be improving your players and your young prospects. And that wasn't happening. So I'm like, well, why would the learners go out and spend, you know, $100 million on a frontline pitcher? Like, what would that be than just like burn money?
I mean, there's only so many times you can watch your base runners get picked off 2 or 3 times a night before you're like, all right, well, like, someone has to be managing this team, right? You know, it's just the same mistakes over and over, or just the lack of the quality of bats. I mean, I can only watch Heber Ruiz swing at balls at his ankles and over his head so many times a night before you're like, all right, is someone teaching this guy what's a ball and a strike?
Yeah, and the defense just being so atrocious that it's hard to even judge the pitchers. And then just, you know, you're not seeing any development of your own prospects. I mean, you know, how many first round draft picks do we have that are just doing nothing? I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's like, been a big issue. I mean, obviously James Wood has shown flashes that he's going to be a superstar, and, you know, or could be a superstar, and CJ as well, you know, and Gore as well. But then also all three of those players have had some really bad cold streaks too, which, you know, happens when you're a younger player, but
and at least like, three frontline guy. Those guys are supposed to turn into at least all stars. So the fact that, you know, you got to be able to develop your second rounders, you know, you got to be able to find some guys in the late rounds or through trades or something that you can develop into at least you know, solid starters, right?
Yeah.
The Nats are just whiffing on their first round. You know, I'm like, you can't turn 3-4 years of first round picks into at least like one starting pitcher. That's like not like your best you got is like your starters are going into like long relief in the bullpen. I mean, we'll see what happens with Cavalli, but like, I don't know. You know, you're just like, dude, like you got to develop someone.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that kind of leads me into, so are you on board with this whiz kid kind of team of youngsters that they've assembled? Obviously, Paul Toboni is, you know, says he wants to make a player development monster, I think was the quote. And he's obviously, it's like, if you're over 35, you're out, right?
You're out, right?
Yeah. I've never felt so old as a fan, you know, that I'm like, wow, I'm like actually legitimately older, not old enough to be their dads, but like definitely old enough to be like their cool older cousin or something for some of these guys that they're hiring now. But I mean, where are you on that? Do you like this youth movement with the management?
Obviously, the anyone's going to be a little concerned with the lack of experience there. You know, I 100% understand wanting to bring in new fresh approaches, and these guys all have great resumes and all that stuff. But I mean, experience does bring something important and tangible. And normally when you bring in these young Wiz kids, you pair them with maybe some grizzled, not even grizzled veterans, just someone over the age of 40, someone who's played in the majors before, someone
who's like managed before, who's done their job before.
Yeah, right? That's a twofold thing. You've got, you know, young kids, but also none of them really have major league playing experience. And I'm like, how's that going to go over with, you know, a clubhouse of major leaguers, just anyone who's worked in a workplace before? There's just certain communication thing, you know, techniques you pick up, just ways of communicating with leading a work staff that you kind of get with experience. And I know 10 years ago when I was 33, like I didn't know those things. I wasn't great at being in charge of, you know, like
I'm
great at my job, but that's a very like different thing than having those soft skills.
For those who don't know, Brian and I actually, we both work in television. We met on a show where we were like made bosses in our late 20s or mid 20s. And like, I was probably the worst boss ever at that point. You know, I think I just went in my room and like did my stuff. And every once in a while would come out and be like, all right, guys, do good stuff too. And like go back in my room. And, you know, there's a lot of skill involved in that. So, I mean, I do think it's cool they're going young. And it's interesting. Lorne Michaels, who used to do does SNL, once said, you know, when in doubt, go young. Like if you feel like your cast has gotten too old, turn it over. And that's kind of what the Nats are doing. But, you know, yeah, there's a risk there because it's like everyone they're hiring for a job they've never done before. So, I it could go spectacularly wrong. It's hard to say.
Yeah. And you also wonder, you know, you bring up that job we worked together where they made all the young kids bosses way too early. And they did that because they didn't want to pay the older people more money. You know, you can get these young kids on the cheap and you're like, yeah, sure, they'll get the job done. But you just have to wonder, yeah, like, are they hiring these young kids because they're willing to take these jobs for less than the market rate? You know, the learners are famous for not paying their managing front office staff. You also wonder, yeah, with this potential strike coming up, the learners are kind of like, oh, no, we don't want to pay money if we don't know what the deal with the TV rights is going to be.
And, yeah,
you know, they finally got the Masson rights back, but those might go to MLB and no one really knows. So I, you know, it seems like there's a whiff of a just business related, like, well, it's just cheap, you know, let's not spend a lot of money right now. Let's just kind of tread water. Let's get some young kids. Like, it's like, you know, like make a bet, see what happens. If they are become brilliant geniuses, look, we look amazing. If not, like after the strike, we'll have a better idea of revenue. And we'll fire them all and start all over again. And so, you know, we'll see.
You know, some of the younger pitchers, even in 2024, like Mitchell Parker and Jake Irvin, and, you know, some of these guys are like, all right, like, it looked like we had finally gotten some secondary pieces.
The Rizzo magic was bad. You find in these like random pitchers out of nowhere that turn into your Tanner Roark's. And and then they all turned into pumpkins this last year. They couldn't sustain it.
Yeah, no, I did another podcast. Sometimes people have me on as a guest, you know, one out of Toronto, and they were like, well, what's the problem with the Nats? I'm like, well, like every one of our pitchers has an ERA over 5.5. I mean, it's not even like really, it's hard to win a lot of baseball games when you have Mackenzie Gore and a bunch of dudes who can't get an ERA under 5. But yeah, no, they really haven't been able to put complementary pieces around the two or three young stars we have, you know.
And the bullpen, another kind of, I think, damning indictment of the state of the depth, you know, the farm system and how they haven't been able to develop guys.
So I guess we brought up the learners a little bit. Do you feel like they're holding this franchise back? I mean, do you think they're waiting for a sale or?
I mean, I think you could definitely make a case that they could be spending more money. I mean, the Nats are a major market, big market.
Yeah.
TV, and
yeah.
They're trying to run them, you know, and I said before they hired to like this new front office group that I was like, it'll be very, very indicative of kind of what their mindset is. Are they going to hire a bunch of guys from Tampa Bay and which
yeah. says
we're going to try to run our team like a small market team where we're going to find these, you know, areas of where we can kind of get value and beat the big market teams and become the next Guardians or, you know, Tampa Bay or Milwaukee or whatever, and find these kind of like hidden areas that we can beat the other teams with because we can't outspend them? Or are they going to go kind of the more, you know, big market approach and bring in some proven bets and spend some money and make some free agent moves? And they obviously went the Tampa Bay route. Like, so I'm like, all right, they're just going to run the team like a small market team. And at least they're getting the people in there.
Yeah.
I think they tried to run the team like a small market team the last 4 or 5 years with a GM who would have been much better with a bigger budget. I think Rizzo would have done fine, you know, with just getting free agents and stuff like that. If he had a big budget, but he's not the guy to, you know, go find and develop, a diamond in the rough or something.
Yeah. And it's disappointing to me because, I mean, they've literally, you know, since COVID, like built like a mini Times Square around that ballpark. I mean, there's money around it, right? Like someone's got money. I mean, obviously I know the Lerner's his owners have like, are worth $7-8 billion, whatever it is. And I know a lot of people complain like, ooh, commercial real estate. Ooh, like give me a break. I mean, I think we could get the payroll up a little closer, $200 million, like it used to be and compete, but obviously that's not what they're doing. I mean, it's interesting. Like you said earlier, like, you know, we haven't had enough young players develop that it warrants going out and getting that $100 million, $200 million starting pitcher or, you know, or position player. But then also we're not really, I guess what disappoints me, we're not really getting the $12 million a year player. We're getting like Candelario on like a 1 year, $5 million, or like Trevor Williams. Like we're, you know, we had Nick Senzel was in there. It's a lot of reclamation, house flipping kind of projects, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, I think you'd like to see a happy medium between trying to be the next Dodgers or the Mets and just blowing crazy amounts of money and being just the perennial last place Colorado Rockies. Like we're not even trying. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, you can scrap and claw and try to like be a 500 team and get, you know, when you get lucky and you squeak into the postseason, then who knows what happened, you know, like a Diamondbacks or something like that. Like where, yeah, you're not gonna make it every year, but when things break your way, you're at least like, and I think that's important too for developing these younger kids. Cause you just lose all the time. You get bad habits. Like, yeah, you know, look at the Wizards. Like there's only so many years you can rebuild before it just becomes your culture and you lose fan base interest too. You know, it really feels like the Nats, and they did get a little boned with COVID, but it felt like they kind of squandered everything they built in the teens with all those teams that, you know, built this fan base and kind of took over DC sports fan a little bit from the Commanders, and then just kind of squandered it after the 2019 World Series.
All right, I think that's our episode. That was part one with Brian. We got into all of it. I love is comparing the Nats to the Wizards. You know, it's depressing, but it's kind of true. And, you know, just youth and veteran reclamation projects, you know, unfortunately have dominated the last 5 or so years. I have a lot more with Brian. We'll get to, we'll probably drop part two of this interview in the next week or so. And we also have some special guests coming up that are gonna be pretty exciting. Thanks again to all of y'all that listen. Thanks to Old DC for sponsoring this program. And we will be back soon. And in the meantime, go Nats.